deadly global heat, gasoline poured on that fire, is lack of kindness. Thank you to @KentPittman, @climatejustice.social on the Mastodon, as always, for that climate crisis haiku. Kent continued with notes. In times of stress, my feeling is that people will fall back on the familiar, the practiced, the tested, the routine. This is why it is important to practice kindness now, to make it an integrated part of our lives and our public policy. I fear we will not invent more kindness when we are stressed further by climate change. We need to know that kindness works. We will feel we can't afford to explore. The climate crisis must not be an every person for themselves thing. Kent continues. Thank you to everyone joining us in every medium and helping boost so people can find us on the Mastodon and so forth, or elsewhere if you also exist elsewhere. Over in Lambdamo, we've just been joined by Rat. Hello, Ratsu. Alex the Red. By @here. @here. Paradise Sushi is making MDH nostalgic for their old sushi place in Seattle. Let's see. Welcome to Alex the Red, MDH, Jazzmaz of SDF's Vintage CompuTalk, MDH of McClim Console, and Scheme, as is inescapable. Nerf has been under the weather. Thank you for being here, Nerf, and I hope you're feeling a bit better. I found that HTML article will address later through you and MDH and a few other people, which I think we can do a fun reversal of. Brontar is here. We have one guest. I suspect the guest might be Corbin, but maybe not. Ratsu and Zilt are all here. Jay Lamoth is coming as well. Thank you, Emily. Emily is letting us know Jay Lamoth is coming. Not soon enough either. I think that MD Hughes' sushi hasn't arrived. Oh no, MD Hughes has some cucumber roll. Oh, don't trust me. Anyway, I liked that little bit on the climate crisis, just to prepare people. We will have Corwin drop in whenever Corwin wants to, sometime this hour. I see them hovering silently in the background.
I'm here.
Can people hear the Jamuary vibe, the ambient Jamuary vibe I have going in the background? This was our friends, our Bonk Wavers and Bonk Wave friends, Limebar versus Flock of Nazguls. So I think Flock of Nazguls produced a Jamuary, and this is like Limebar riffing off it, which is, I think I did this today last year as well. I always enjoy some Limebar versus Flock of Nazguls, and Jamuary is a wonderful, wonderful celebration. Yeah, Nerf is pointing out, yeah, that HTML article was so self-indulgent. So to people who didn't see this yet, and I think we've got a fun interpretation of it. Oh, guest is actually dead and gone, or not gone, but being carted off to bed. Well, welcome, Jay Lamoth, stepping in to Paradise Sushi here. That's just mentioned this Wired.com article. So there was a very popular, I guess, Wired.com business article saying HTML is the best computer language or something like that. Jay Lamoth hates to teleport in. But the train was going to take way too long. I've never actually caught the train. Oh, for context, people. Several pieces of context. Welcome to the Lispy Gopher Climate with Screwtape, or Screw Lisp, as the case may be. We're hosted by Anon Radio. I'm going to say net. Every 0:00 UTC Wednesdays. including New Year's and Christmas. Come hell or high water, we're going to be here. Rarely I have to pre-record, but that's what you're doing here. We chat in Paradise Sushi in Lamdmu. And Jay Lamoth has a sushi place here. Oh, yes. Jay Lamoth is reminding me that anonradio.net is, in fact, powered by SDF Public Access Unix. Okay. Nerf is saying, not just come hell or high water, it's hell and high water now, but we will keep going, as indicated by the wonderful Unix underscore surrealism show poster by @proho at mervey.town, where mervey is spelled like it sounds. What was I quickly finishing saying? Yeah, and SDF is sdf.org, which provide Anon Radio, Public Access Unix, a bunch of kind of Libra services hosted. There's lots to mention about SDF. Like the default operating system on SDF is actually NetBSD, which is a lot of fun to see as well. Though there is an OpenBSD option and so forth. But to actually, oh yeah, that would be better. I should do this too. MD Hughes is telling us he can simulate having gotten off the train by actually teleporting to the street outside and then walking in, maybe tussling his hair first, something like that. Jay Lamoth is saying the meta array of SDF actually runs on Debian. Yeah, I think it's Linux lower down, but what you experience, I'm not exactly done the containerization, but you can basically choose your experience, and the default experience is the NetBSD experience, which is nice. MD Hughes is saying this was culturally normal on Second Life, where you wouldn't teleport to the location of where you're meeting someone. You would teleport nearby and then walk in to create the experience that you'd travel there, which is wonderful. And I wonder if I can connect to actually talking about this HTML is better than Python article. Jay Lamoth says that feels like cheating, but Slack, one of our venerable mooers, pointed out to me that at some point practicality wins. At one point I was making a point of not teleporting because I felt it was, you know, it kind of breaks your verisimilitude because we don't have this expectation from real life. But the thing is, teleporting is really useful, basically. So maybe it would be impolite to suddenly teleport out of a room where we're talking, but as a matter of practicality, we do get places by teleportation. So maybe this is like an expectation that has sort of been changed by futuristic cyberspaces like Lambda. Welcome to Brontar. Sorry if I forgot to mention you. What was Brontar saying a moment ago? Yeah, okay, Nerf. So the way that you get here manually, so to speak, is there's a model railway set in one of the guest bedrooms in Lambda House, and you can jump onto the model railway and you'll fall to a random place in the little town that the model railway goes through, in which is called Tiny Town. And Tiny Town is really one of the happening districts of Lambda. Like the Casino is here, a few other kind of notable places. Paradise Sushi is across the main intersection of Lambda House. And this is why, if you get to the edge of the apparent edge of the world in Tiny Town and you jump off, you end up in the guest bedroom. You don't, like, that's where you fall to, I guess. Alex the Red is just letting us know that most people build things up a around the assumption of at least some kind of teleportation. Welcome, new guest, whether you're the same guest as before or not. There aren't many long-distance rapid methods of transportations, other than the helicopter, which begs the question, can you make helicopter landing sites in Tiny Town, is my question. Are they allowed there? Sorry about the, MDH, if you just keep following the road, I think you can eventually jump off and you end up back in the guest bedroom. Maybe don't quote me on that. Somebody order the guest a new drink, because guests can't order drinks. Really should eventually talk to this article. I wonder if Corwin is secretly listening, or whether Corwin had too short notice. I really just...
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Before the show. Oh, you are here, Corwin.
I'm here, Corwin. Yes, indeed.
I was just kind of soliloquizing. Welcome, Corwin.
Well, thanks so much. It's an honor to be invited on the program, and I guess you know me. Anybody that knows me knows I've always got a little extra energy to come squee about, you know, Emacs and the free software universe.
Yeah, I was excited about this. That perhaps you could do a slightly more grand introduction of yourself, and then I'm interested to get your opinion on some really bad programming I was doing, where I was being enabled by Emacs in the future. But if you want to introduce yourself a little bit more, Ratsu is squeeing away here in Lambda.
Well, sure. My name's Corwin Bruce. I'm a professional technology person. I've been using Emacs for 30 mumble years. I was turned onto it by Jeff Goth, who you might know of for his work influencing what is now known as the Roku language, but back when it was kind of first coming together and being called Perl 6, he was really involved with that and a real enthusiast. Unfortunately, he died a few years ago, just around the start of the COVID, kind of beat the rush. He had a pretty macabre sense of humor, so we honor him by remembering him in that and with that. Anyway, Jeff had a lot of influence on me, encouraging me to dig deeper into Emacs, which I had bumped into as a kid, like on the Amiga TV or on the Amiga 1000, just there was a micro Emacs implementation there that was pretty fun. And over the
your
years,
origin story is so much cooler than mine on basically every count. But that's why we have you here.
That's Emacs, right? It just, yes. it has as many origin stories as it has users. So each of us kind of finds a different, use case or circumstance under which it's inevitable it becomes a crutch for us to kind of get along and get things done, and maybe avoid reading a manual sometimes.
Yeah, and so eventually, I seem to have listed it third on my list of topics, not counting like the secret topic, which was that you were a guest. But I wrote some really terrible common Lisp code because it was really easy to do with some ad hoc Emacs keyboard macros. And so I'm interested to know when we get to that topic, what you think of that. And we have a longtime Vim loyalist, MD Hughes, here.
My mentor. So let me say a couple more things about myself, please. Real quick. Just it's a little bit of an opportunity for me. I probably am overly lazy by the community standards providing any sort of decent bio for me. But my profile's changed a little bit. I'm excited to share that in the last year, I've joined the FSF SysOps team, which is a new group of volunteers that just helps with general infrastructure maintenance. That's something I got into through volunteering for the Savannah Hackers team, which is another group that's always looking for help. These are teams that can be a little tougher to get into. We're dealing with older hardware, older infrastructure, and extremely, by the free software versus open source sort of spectrum of the world, what we would call, say, very conservative or traditional values, right? So, you know, no non-free blobs and, you know, kind of make things hard for ourselves in some ways just in order to go the extra mile in making sure that nobody using us is thus implicitly compromising some of their own values. And then I'll also mention for the last 4 years, I've been involved with the Emacs conference program, which is how we met. And that's just an absolute hoot. The last few years, Sasha has been our kind of central organizer, but I'm part of the core organizing committee along with Leo, who you probably recognize as kind of the face of the convention. And Amin Bandali, who you could almost think of as the re-founder of the convention, kind of breathed life back in as COVID was starting to happen. It was becoming more difficult to do in-person events. He's the person who just kind of put his foot down and said, no, we're doing this.
That's so cool. And thank you for that introduction. Sorry that I was just kind of blathering on. That introduction was some quality material here, basically. Just over in Lambdamu, we have people happily chattering along with what you're saying. Gibberish is making mooing sounds and saying FSF is Paragon. Brontarch says unfree blobs are the devil. Yeah, we were having this with our friends.
There's a whole, we could do an hour on that, I'll bet, right?
yeah, that this topic can go really as far as you like. Yeah, Praetor got into using geeks for the first time, but then immediately found the non-free unofficial fork of geeks, and you have to say well, maybe it's worth doing.
I mean, that's
extra work.
Wow, what a story that is. I mean, it's so, you know, at the end of the day, we have our principles and they're what brought us together, but we also, you know, we have day jobs, we have things to get through, we have things we're trying to learn, and if you didn't scratch the spot you were after,